For more than a decade, Saturdays and Illegal Curve have been synonymous with one another, with insight, analysis, and interviews regarding the Winnipeg Jets, the Manitoba Moose, and all around the NHL. Here are Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. With Dave Minuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Pleased to see so many of you on this Saturday morning at Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets and the Los Angeles Kings in action later tonight. About 9 hours from now, a very busy hockey Saturday involving the teams here in Winnipeg, as the Moose are also in action later tonight in Grand Rapids to finish off their road trip against the Griffins. So a very busy day. We encourage you to keep it locked to IllegalCurve.com. Keep it locked to us here this morning. We'll have the latest from Winnipeg Jets game day skate. And of course, later tonight, the Illegal Curve post-game show, following the Jets and the Kings. Gentlemen, good to see you. Before we get deep into the Winnipeg Jets, the question that has been on everyone's mind, Ezra, besides what happened to your hair, is did Ezra remember the milk?
Drew, you're in no position to talk about hair, first of all.
I know, but you got a whole slicked back do going. Did you, did you hit up, did you get some gel and maybe, really get a greasy roll in there?
No, I don't use any gel. I never use any product. I had a late shower. I probably showered around like 8:30 this morning, but it's toque hair. I had my Hockey Manitoba toque on, and it's just, it's hat hair, you know what I mean? And okay, just so I know everyone is curious, I did pick up the milk, because if I didn't pick up the milk, Naomi would have literally killed me and probably buried me in the backyard. So I picked up a 2 liter of nice little Beatrice 2% milk. So Ruben had his milk last night, and everything's good.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. How was the shoveling, Dave? Did you end up, did Ezzy end up doing the shoveling for him, for you, or did you have to do it yourself?
I did it myself, but I mean, as he did complain about the fact that he said I haven't salted the sidewalk yet, so it was a little slick.
Well, I mean, going back to when we used to do the show all together at your house, that was a frequent complaint, if I recall correctly, from last winter. That sidewalk didn't get salted very often, because Mr. Minuk doesn't use the front sidewalk. That's only for the visitors.
I believe I once got chastised by the mail person, or not me, but someone walking into the house and said, if he expects to get his mail, I'm like, I don't want my mail. I'm like Kramer. I'm like, I put a brick in that mailbox. All I get is flyers anyways.
The only reason I was complaining this morning, Dave, is because last year I wiped out so hard. I thought I, injured my bum bone. So it's just ridiculous out there. Like, it's the back lanes are the worst. Like, I got stuck yesterday. I don't know about you guys, if you got stuck in the back lanes, but just thanks to everybody, involved, all the, city lane of Winnipeg. And yeah, I guess you have a front lane, right? You have a front driveway.
I don't have a back lane. Yeah.
You're fancy, Drew.
I used to have a back lane, but then I've been stuck in, but no, I don't have a back lane anymore. But I understand what your sentiment is there completely.
Yeah. The back lanes are bad, but the city, good on them. They've started to plow starting last night, and it's just ridiculous. Like, it's amazing, actually, that our city and province was able to function yesterday. I know that buses were canceled and highways were closed and schools were closed and everything like that, but for the most part, everybody just got up yesterday morning and went about their business. I went to work downtown. I'm sure all of us did the same, and it's just the way it is. It's Winnipeg. I mean, what else would you expect at this time of year, right?
Absolutely nothing else. And yes, Kenny's water bottle. That's why you tune in to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. For those listening on the podcast, Kenny put up a comment saying, with all due respect, Ezzy, Drew has a responsibility to ask the hard-hitting questions, especially about your hair and your beard. So yes, that is my duty. I wear the crown on my head, and I understand the burden that I have to deal with. But yes, it is true. I do ask the hard-hitting questions. And to Matthew Thompson, did you just hear Ezzy say the words bum bone? And yes, you did hear Ezzy use the words bum bone. So we're clearly off to a raucous start on this Saturday morning's edition.
Well, what is it called? Tailbone? Is that what it's
called? Your tailbone. Yeah.
Tailbone. It's called your tailbone.
I know. He may have flunked the LSAT, but he didn't flunk the MCAT, folks. Let's be thankful for that. Anyways, let's get started talking about the week that was for the Winnipeg Jets. About as even Steven, speaking of Kramer and Seinfeld there, Mr. Minook, a week as you can get. 1-1-1, the loss last Saturday to the New York Islanders, the shootout loss on Tuesday to the St. Louis Blues, and then on Thursday night, of course, the victory over the San Jose Sharks. We said that the Saturday game and that the Tuesday game were going to be sort of barometers for how this Winnipeg Jets team lines up with some of the better teams in the NHL. So my thought, and I'll want you guys, of course, to opine on my opinion here, is that the Jets, if the New York Islanders are an upper echelon team, and they are to me,
It's crazy. Cup. I agree with you. The craziest thing is they're last in the Metro Division right now.
Well, we'll talk about the Metro Division later on in
that
the show.
That just shows you how good the Metro is.
That's exactly no team in the Metro is below 500 in the points percentage, which tells you how deep the Metro Division is so far this year. But to me, the Islanders are still a Stanley Cup contender. The Jets aren't at their level, but they're in that level right below them, with the St. Louis Blues, with some of the other teams that are very good, can easily turn into Stanley Cup contenders. But right now, as we sit here on the 13th of November, they're just not right there just yet. But that's not to say that it's been a bad week or that the Winnipeg Jets haven't proved themselves to be a very good hockey team.
Yeah, I think the big difference between the Jets and the Islanders is that their defense just – it's not their team defense is not as good, right? And not many teams are, right? Like the Islanders might have the best defensive team in the entire league. And we saw that with the Jets getting shut out last Saturday, as you mentioned, right, Drew? So I think that's really the biggest difference. And the penalty kill, right? Like if you were to look at the first 13 games of the season, right, and the Jets at 7-3-3, and we know the Jets could easily have a few more wins, right? Like they could have easily beat Minnesota. I mean, you could have an extra point, you know, against St. Louis, right? So you could even have a few more points there. I think the biggest concern would be, you know, the penalty kill and sometimes the defensive play in the Jet zone, right? But aside from that, like it's mainly positive. Like it's more positive than negative when you consider, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler have been out of the lineup for extended periods. You know, you've been without Hellebuck. Comrie has started 3 games out of 13. Like we were talking about it at the beginning of the year. Like we thought like Comrie would basically get one start every 6 or 7 games, right? And he's picked up, you know, 3 wins. So that's been one of the best stories. I think you guys would agree that, you know, Comrie has given the Jets really good backup goaltending. But when you consider, you know, and, you know, not to mention Paul Stastny's been out of the lineup, right? So, I mean, the Jets have had key players out of the lineup and they're still right at the top of the Central Division, right? So I think that's been the main story, but they're not a perfect team. You're absolutely right. I mean, when you get into the playoffs, and that's the difference. The Islanders are a playoff-tested team, right? Like they have taken the Tampa Bay Lightning to the brink. And until the Jets do that and go to a conference final like they did back in 2018, you're right. They're kind of in that second tier, but I would put them right at the top of that second tier. And, you know, we always have to, you know, say this, that we're still very early into the season. I think, you know, it's a big enough sample size that we can say the Jets are one of the better teams in the Western Conference, one of the better teams in the league. They're a top 10 team, but they're not necessarily, you know, the top team. I don't know if there is one right now, guys. Like, you know, if you had to ask most people who's the best team in the league, would they say Carolina? Would they say Edmonton? Would they say Florida? Like all of these teams have weaknesses.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, and that's usually how it is most seasons, that there isn't one team that, you know, is an unmitigated juggernaut. I mean, the closest team that was an unmitigated juggernaut during the regular season people thought would roll through the playoffs was the Lightning team 3 years ago that lost to the Blue Jackets in the first round. But obviously, we know that Tampa Bay bounced back quite well from that defeat there, Dave. You know, you... been in the arena for the entirety of the homestand, as you usually are, and you know you're there to watch the Moose as well, of course. So, you know, what are your thoughts? You know, has your opinion on the Winnipeg Jets maybe changed at all through this week when they played against the Islanders, when they played against the Blues, or the entirety of the season through the first 13 games the team has played so far?
No, not really. I mean, I think that the Jets had a fortunate schedule. I mean, they did in the sense that, I mean, going over the West Coast isn't ideal twice already this early in the season, but it is early in the season. So you can probably handle the rigors of travel better than, you know, if you had to do that, you know, in April. But sure, at the same time, still a taxing to do that. And so you've got that to deal with. You've got to deal with the fact that, you know, you missed Connor Hellebuyck for four games when, as he said, you probably expected Eric Comrie to have played one, maybe two at this point. He's already played four. So that's an unexpected bonus for this team, is that you now know that you have confidence in your backup goaltender. You said you did already. It's easy to say things. It's another thing to do things. And so they saw that and what he was able to do for them in the four games he's played. So I think that was a huge benefit. And they've also realized the benefit of not having, you know, Scheifele, Connor, and Wheeler together. They see what Connor has done with Pierre-Luc Dubois, what Pierre-Luc Dubois himself has done. So I think that to me is probably the most important thing, is that this idea of you've got much more balance now within the team, within the team structure. And, you know, I think it was Matthew Thompson who just made the comment, you know, you have Ehler, Scheifele, and Wheeler for a combined one goal. and you're 7-3-3 on the season, and you're still doing well. So to me,
put those three players together on the line again.
Yeah, and Paul Maurice said yesterday in his availability after practice, was that, you know, he's hoping to get the three of them going, and you could very easily see it happening. And people, ironically, have been calling for that line to be put together, you know, for Ehlers
for years now.
I mean, now unfortunately, I guess Ehlers is now being bumped down to is remaining on the second line, but. Regardless of whether, you know, I mean, Pascal Vincent always used to say, you know, it doesn't matter what line you are, you just go up when your name is called, and that's the reality. And so that to me, I think, is probably the biggest benefit this Jets team has learned, is that they can win without, you know, Ehlers and Wheeler and Scheifele, and specifically Wheeler and Scheifele, because I think Ehlers has been very good, but without those guys yet contributing. So once you have all those guys firing. And, you know, I mean, look, we keep saying we're expecting Kyle Connor, Pierre-Luc Dubois to fall off a bit. They haven't. And now we're at, you know, the 13 game mark. So that continues to produce for this Jets team. But once they falter a little bit, maybe one or two games, you have an opportunity to see what the rest of this lineup can do. And we now see a fourth line that's emerging that seems to be, and again, that's, you know, very early, and the sample size is very small on that, because the Jets went 11-7 for so much of, throughout the course of the season already. But I think that's another thing that you're learning, is that somehow now you're seeing this come together of a fourth line a little bit. So, and the pairings have looked good, right? I think, like, we weren't sure what we were going to get with Nate Schmidt and Josh Morrissey. You're hoping that, you know, if you're a Jets fan, you're thinking, okay, well, that's going to work out. That seems to have worked out really nicely. Those two really have formed a dynamic chemistry. And I've got to give a shout out to Caleb Snyder. Yeah. Because he's within the Jets organization. And if you haven't seen the Jets put together this thing with Nate Schmidt on Twitter and Instagram, where he basically is like in the Instagram post, like highlighting his video. So shout out to Caleb Snyder, because he did a phenomenal job on that. So, but, and the other thing is,
I'm impressed that you are so deep and so knowledgeable, Mr. Manuki, that you know the name of the guy who did the funny Instagram Twitter post. That is some in-depth research every show.
Hold on. That's impressive. I can take it one step further. Richie and I coached Caleb for the Tuxedo Lightning 13A1. So I coached Caleb in hockey. So when I saw that he was hired by the Jets, I really felt old, you know, him being 13, and I think I was 29. At the time. So he's got to be, you know, in his early 20s. So yeah, shout out to Caleb, a really good kid.
I want to see you do the math. I want to see you actually do the math. But yeah, it was a good video.
10 years ago, 13 plus 10, he's 23.
There you go. Attaboy. It was a good video. I agree with you, Dave. I thought it was pretty clever. And you could see, I mean, to no one's surprise, given his jubilant personality, how excited Nate was to be part of that video. The smile on his face reached from North Kildonan all the way to South Zane Vitale, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I just started laughing. And you, like I said, I usually don't, we're not here to promote the team in that regard, but that was extraordinarily well done. So I thought that was pretty funny. And the other thing, just to kind of wrap it up, is the Pionk and Dylan pairing. I think that has really started to kind of gel in the last little bit. We expected it to, and they've had, like, how unusual is it that you've had 13 games now where your D pairings, obviously with Nate Beaulieu, you've had him as the 11th, as a seventh defenseman, but the D pairings have been consistent. And so I think that's been a huge benefit for Paul Maurice and his coaching staff, is to have that sort of stability within the back end to really allow those guys a time to gel. And as he's right, the PK hasn't been good, but you've essentially lost almost all your PKers, right? So there's been a,
Well, it's been better lately. It was better on Thursday when you don't take a penalty. It's easy to have a good penalty kill when you don't take any penalties on Thursday.
That was one of the questions he was asked in the press conference, press media availability yesterday was, do you, was the plan to take no penalties? That way you wouldn't have to test your penalty kill. So, yeah, I mean, but I just think that's just something of getting new guys into that role and figuring that out.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Good morning to everybody, of course. Saturday morning, you're watching, you're listening, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Remember to smash the like button. You don't have to break your phone to do it.
Like Ill Mentality J. That's a great name, by the way.
Exactly. You know, give a nice little tap to that like button. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That way you're alerted each and every time we go live, like later tonight, right around 8:45 p.m. or so with the Illegal Curve post-game show following tonight's Jets and Kings matchup. So let me ask you guys this. We've talked about sort of where we think the Jets rank among the top teams in the NHL, and we all seem to be in agreement that they might not be in the tippy-top tier, which has a very few number of teams, but they're right tippy-top. In that second tier.
What about tippy top Taylors?
You could do that too. Maybe the tippy top Taylors want to become a tippy top sponsor here of the show. But in any event, what do the Jets need to do to get into that upper echelon, to get into that best of the best class that we were talking about, where we all agree are so they are just outside of that group?
Well, yeah, I mean that's a complicated question, right? Because essentially you're asking like, you know, what does it take?
What happened to your hair? Very, very complicated question.
Yeah, well, you know, Drew, I'm a very complicated guy, right?
I'm a complicated enigma, man. No one understands it but his woman.
You wouldn't even get
me to get my line out.
I was going to say I'm an enigma wrapped in a Snickers wrapper. But,
and I went with the Shaft reference instead, so I think mine was better.
Yeah, yeah, yours was better. You're just better than me overall, Drew. You're better than Ezra. So what was my thought here? Let me get back on track here. I mean, you're asking a complicated question in the sense of, you know, like why we could spend, you know, probably 10 to 15 minutes on, you know, what makes a Stanley Cup contender, right? You just look at the Tampa Bay Lightning
and really 2 hours, so you got lots of time.
Well, yeah, we got Jesse Pollock coming up in about 10 minutes. So, you know, I don't want to steal his thunder, but I mean, look, I think the Jets have all of the ingredients, right? Like if you're baking a cake here, and you guys know I like my cheesecake, you know, if you're baking a cake, they have all the ingredients there. It's just a question of really how you use those ingredients. That's what I would say to use a, you know, a food analogy, because those are the only analogies I know. But I think, you know, we talked about, you know, the penalty kill has got to be better. You don't have to have the best penalty kill or a top five penalty kill in the NHL to win the Stanley Cup. That's not what I'm saying, but that's a weakness. And really the team that ultimately wins the Stanley Cup is the team that has a combination of the best goaltending and the best depth, right? Like you see that every year. One of the main reasons why Tampa Bay won the Stanley Cup is not only did you have superstars like, you know, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, Victor Hedman leading the way. I mean, you had guys like, you know, Pat Maroon chipping in. You had, you know, Blake Coleman and Barclay Goodrow and Yanni Gourde on that third line, right? Which is a first line on some teams, really. So I think, you know, the Jets are close to being there, but they have the ingredients. They have, you know, the all-world goaltender. They have, you know, the Vezina-winning goaltender in Connor Hellebuck. You know, they've added Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon to solidify their top six defense. You know, they've got Paul Stastny back this year. He's a guy that can play on your first line or your third line. You've got a fourth line, as Dave talked about, with Dominic Toninato, Riley Nash, and Christian Vesalainen, that I think, you know, is much improved on the fourth line for last year. So they have a long way to go before, you know, they get in a position where they're competing for Stanley Cup, because obviously we're only 13 games into the season here. But I think, you know, it's the details in the game. It's, I think, overall team defense is, in a long roundabout way, is what I would say, you know, still has to get better. It's better than last year just because of the personnel. Schmidt and Dillon are an upgrade over Forsberg and Poolman. All due respect to those guys, I mean, it's just an upgrade. But, you know, it's those little things like, you know, in the first period when Brendan Dillon, you know, coughs up the puck. And I'm not singling Dillon out in general. I'm just saying in those types of plays, right, like on a kind of nightly basis, you take those out of your game and everything like that. But at the end of the day, guys, the Jets have earned 10 points in 10 out of 13 games, you know, with some key players out of the lineup. So I think they're doing pretty well here through the first month of the season.
Well said, Mr. Ginsburg. Shifting our focus, Dave, to tonight's contest against the LA Kings. You know, you look at the LA Kings and you think, okay, this should be one of those, you know, this isn't a team that, you know, it comes to mind as being, you know, one of the better teams in the league. But as of late, they started slow. I mean, they started 1-5-1 on the season. This LA Kings team has won 7 games in a row out of nowhere. I mean, remember when the Jets played them in LA not that long ago, you didn't see much towards their game. And it's a team without Drew Doughty in their lineup. 1-5-1 not that long ago. The Kings have rattled off 7 wins in a row. And, you know, Andrei Kopitar is playing like, you know, the superstar that he really doesn't get all the credit that he is, you know, for being. But this is I'm not going to say it's a trap game for the Winnipeg Jets, but this is not an easy game playing against an LA Kings team that has an absolute ton of momentum behind them and a ton of confidence right now entering tonight's contest.
Yeah, there's no question. I think the rumors of the Pacific Division's weakness,
great demise,
has been a little slightly exaggerated because they sure seem to be knocking on the door. And yeah, I mean, it was funny because Blake Wheeler was asked about the Kings having coming into Winnipeg having won 7 in a row. He didn't even know. He's like, they have? Like he was kind of caught unaware of that fact. So, and I think I'm not surprised. Like, I mean, especially because, you know, they, like to your point, Drew, they played a Kings team that didn't seem like they would be doing that. And when you lose Doughty, it's hard to imagine that this team has rattled off 7 straight. So, but that's what they did. And kudos to them, right? That you win 2-3 games, you could say, well, we got lucky. We got some puck luck or we had a hot goaltender. 7 games, that's something right there. And we've talked about the Kings. They've had one of the best systems in the NHL for years now. They really have. And it's impressive, right? You win this all the Stanley Cups, go into a quasi-rebuild, you know, whatever you want to call it. And you develop one of the best prospect systems in, you know, I'm not a prospect expert by any stretch. That's just the barometer of people who do follow prospects have said for years that the Kings system is one of the best by far. And now you're allowing some of those kids to come into your lineup and you know, you go out and get to know from the Canadians and he gives you some stability. And, you know, it was unexpected. Really, I thought, you know, and I don't follow, obviously, the Kings the way we follow the Jets here, but I just anticipated that this team would still be a few years away from being a few years away because of all those young players and needing to get them, you know, time with the Ontario Reign and time, you know, up with the Kings. But, you know, to the credit of the coaching staff, they're giving those guys some free reign. And obviously, like you said, Drew, they're having veterans step up in a big way and play big roles. And as a result, they're rolling right now. So yeah, this is not going to be an easy test for the Winnipeg Jets by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, it should be a fun game because you've got a Jets team that's, I think, 7-1-2 in their last 10, and you've got a Kings team that's won 7 in a row. So you've got two teams that are feeling good about their games overall, and it should make for an interesting contest. Neither team really having an expectation that they're going to be the dominant one. So I think that's kind of changes the element a little bit because both teams are kind of almost like maybe a little bit like that St. Louis game. Slightly different style, but maybe that expectation.
No, I think, well, you know, that's, I think you might even see, you know, closer to the, you know, I know it's a Saturday game, so it's easy to, you know, go back to that Islanders game, Dave, but I wouldn't expect this to be a super high scoring game. Like you mentioned, you know, the Kings have had a great system and you're right. They just unfortunately haven't had the personnel that they did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Right. The biggest difference there's a few differences between, you know, this year and a few years ago, like Drew mentioned, Drew Doughty, they're also without Victor Arvidsson, right? And that was a trade that many people thought was a bit of a steal for the Kings. And, you know, Arvidsson's in COVID protocol right now. Doughty is, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks away. He suffered that knee injury. It was Hakanpaa, if you guys remember, on Dallas. It was a knee-on-knee hit. Another guy that hasn't played one game this year is Quinton Byfield.
Quinton Byfield, right? Yeah.
And Quinton Byfield was supposed to be that kind of third, fourth line center for them. So not only is Doughty out, Arvidsson and Byfield are out, and they've won 7 in a row. So that's even more surprising, Dave, when you mentioned, you know, how surprising it is. If I can use surprising again in a sentence, 7 wins in a row, right? So, I mean, this Kings team, the biggest difference is Jonathan Quick's health and him being back at that level, you know, that we're expecting him to be, right? Like Jonathan Quick is a guy that for years, you know, kind of got the headlines as, you know, a top goalie in the league. And the last 2 or 3 years, he's struggled with his health. And also the Kings, the team in front of him hasn't been, you know, as good. But like,
well, you remember the Kings, you know, to your point, Ezzie, the Kings signed Cal Peterson to a big contract extension. I think it was this past offseason, if I'm not mistaken, because it sort of seemed like there was a bit of a a changing of the guard as it pertained to the goaltending in Los Angeles? Well,
there will be. It hasn't necessarily happened yet, but it's coming. Jonathan Quick's in the last few years of his career, right?
So. Right, but Jonathan Quick has been terrific this year, a .935 yep. save percentage and a 1.98 goals against average. So, I mean, Jonathan
Quick. That's what I'm saying, Drew. Like, he's been the old Jonathan Quick. And, you know, we owe Dave, you know, mentioned sample size and everything like that. I mean, the thing with Jonathan Quick is, you could say it's only been, you know, 7 or 8 games, but, you know, his sample size is his career and his Stanley Cups. So Jonathan Quick, we know, has the ability to be a good goalie, just like Carey Price. Like, I would put Quick in that. Obviously, you know, I think Price, you'd say, has had a better career, but you look sure. at what Quick has accomplished in his career. So he has that in him. Like, I expect him, you know, to fall off. I don't expect his, you know, save percentage to be .940 at the end of the year or anything like that. But, you know, we saw, you know, a guy like Rasmus Kupari had a really nice goal, you know, in that Jets 3-2 win, mm-hmm. what was that, 3 weeks ago? But, you know, you mentioned Philip Deneau, Dave, and I agree with you. I mean, that's made them a little bit deeper up the middle. He's been on that second line there. And, you know, Dustin Brown is another guy that's kind of been an afterthought. Like, Dustin Brown is playing on that top line with Adrian Kempe. And, you know, Brown's having a good year. Again, another guy who's towards the end of his career. And that's what's going to happen here with the Kings. Like, there's going to be a passing, you know, of the torch in the next few years. And Quinton Byfield and Alex Turcott and Rasmus Kupari and, you know, these guys are going to be the future of the Kings. But, yeah, don't expect necessarily a high-scoring game. Just because I said that, the Jets are going to probably pop in 6 goals. But, you know, for Scheifele, Wheeler, and Ehlers, you know, those guys are all trying to obviously get off the schneid here. But the Kings, they don't give up a lot. They're a really good defensive team.
Well, you know, and that we don't know yet what the Jets lineup will be for tonight's game. We don't know if Paul Stastny is going to return. I mean, historically, Paul Maurice usually doesn't bring a guy back who's missed a few games without getting a practice under his belt. You know, that being said, it's not like Stastny's been out of the lineup for weeks on end. He's missed a couple of games. The Jets don't skate until for another 30 minutes is when they'll be taking the game day skate. So we'll have a better idea in about 30 minutes time at the top of the next hour to see if the Jets are likely to get Paul Stastny back in the lineup. And if they are, that obviously will necessitate one player, one forward coming out of the lineup. So there's still some unknowns regarding the Winnipeg Jets lineup entering tonight's game. But, you know, you mentioned, you know, we talked about it. This seemed like it would have been an easier game on the schedule. The Jets, you know, now that, you know, obviously Blake Wheeler, and it's not a surprise, by the way, don't be surprised that Blake Wheeler doesn't know the LA Kings haven't won 7 games in a row. Some guys obsessively follow the game. Mark Scheifele, you know, he's a guy who watches everything and everyone, but lots of these guys don't necessarily know until they get the scouting report the next day or, you know, shortly before game time or whatever as to who, you know, what their opponent's been up to as of late. But the Jets obviously will know ahead of puck drop that they're playing a team that's won 7 in a row, and they definitely won't take the LA Kings lightly as a result. And, you know, there's almost something, I don't want to say advantageous about that, but there's definitely an element of that, that when you know you're playing an opponent who's been playing very well, it might help you focus even a little bit more than you would have if it was just a random, you know, game against a middling opponent where your attention to detail might drop off a little bit. You're playing a team that's won 7 in a row. You want to be the team that ends that team's winning streak. And as a result, you know that you're going to have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed ahead of tonight's contest, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to jump in and say, like, I think you're right, Drew. I think that's kind of the wake-up call sometimes that a team would need, right? I mean, you've got a team that we already had that comment up, Drew. What are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
What did I want to give Rob Mahoney has a lot of good comments, but I already put that one on there. So got to pay attention.
Sorry, I was Rob, so Rob,
send me your address. We'll get you a tough duck toque.
There you go. Whoa, that's all you took. Now, see, as he's a peacemaker, he doesn't want any fighting.
Hey, we usually only give them away on the postgame show, but Rob's a good guy. He's in here for, you know, in the chat for most of the
well, as he show, just so you know, Alex, who won, I think, the bagels, he was looking for, he said he never heard back. So just be aware of that.
Yeah,
I thought no. Alex, people have to contact me, Dave. I don't contact people. You want free stuff? You got to contact me.
Ezra said
you an email.
He said he sent you an email, but it doesn't matter. We'll get a hold of Alex and we'll send him your stuff.
So hold that thought. That's welcome to the program from Bar Down on TSN. You know him from those great 7-Eleven commercials. Oh, former
best commercial of all time. You weren't
going to hear about that.
I could watch that commercial repeatedly, like 1,000 times. Like every time it comes on, I just have the biggest smile on my face. I love it.
Thanks, fellas. It all started at the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Let's go.
There you go. That's what I was going to say. Former Illegal Curve intern Jesse Pollock joins the program to talk a little bit about the Winnipeg Jets that he loves so dearly. We had you on when last year during the playoffs, Jess. I think if I recall correctly.
It was 2 in the morning. 3 in the morning, probably in Toronto, actually.
It was late.
It was after game 4 against the Oilers, right?
It was late, barely had a voice, but the fellas had to discuss.
The fellows had to discuss. Exactly right. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm great, boys. Honestly, I hear it's snowing quite a bit in Winnipeg. I don't mean to rub it in, but it's like 10 degrees and beautiful in Toronto right now. So, honestly, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're living the dream, buddy. We shoveled our way out, so it's we're not the least bit jealous of your 10-degree weather or anything. So let's maybe skip over that part. You know, Jesse, we started the show talking about the Jets, and sort of I made the point that, you know, over the past week we've seen the Islanders come to town, we've seen the Blues come to town. Two good hockey teams. The Islanders, I would say, are in that upper echelon, and the Blues are sort of at that same level with the Jets. Yeah. You know, you watch, you know, the Jets night in, night out. You watch every Jets game. You know, what are your sort of thoughts on this team through the first 13 games of the regular season?
I mean, not the best start, but I think since we've kind of found our groove a lot, I should say. I think this Jets team looks fantastic, and I think when every part of the team starts clicking, which will happen at some, you know, it's going to happen sooner or later where we're firing on all cylinders, not necessarily some cylinders. I think we're as much of a threat to win the cup as anyone in the league. That's my honest take. I think the Jets are a great team. And I think that even some of our best players are not playing the best hockey that they're capable of playing. Can you imagine when guys like Scheifele and Wheeler like start finding the back of the net a little more and find their game? We got guys who we thought would be our secondary players stepping up as our best players. Kyle Connor, almost goes without saying, this guy's one of the best players in the league. He could find himself on USA's first line. This is a very good team, and I feel confident that we're going to make a run. And you look at teams that were – I mean, I guess Colorado's kind of – you know, they're starting to find it a little more. They've had some bad luck with injuries this year too, but we thought Colorado was just going to run the table in the Central. They are not. And if a team like the Blues is the team to beat right now, we should have beat the Blues in that game. No question. Binnington just played incredibly well. And I think in a full series, we take that series. I'm just saying. I think the Jets are a true contender this year. Absolutely.
I agree with you, Jesse, and it's hard to disagree with everything that you said there, right? Because the Jets could easily have, you know, a few more wins, right? You go back to the Minnesota game. You mentioned the St. Louis game. That second period against the Blues was one of the most dominant periods we've maybe seen from this Jets team this year, right? I wanted to ask you, mentioned, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler, and, you know, that's been a hot topic here in Winnipeg. I think everybody expects Scheifele to, you know, pop a goal in maybe as early as tonight. But what do you think about, you know, the reuniting of the Scheifele, Wheeler, Ehlers line, right? Because Ehlers is obviously struggling a little bit to put the puck in the net, even though I think you'd agree he's having a huge impact on almost every single game. But what do you think of that line? Obviously, Paul Stastny, we don't know if he's going to be back, but where do you eventually see, you know, these lines going? Because for me, Scheifele and Ehlers, I think you want together, but I'd love to see like a Andrew Kopp, you know, with those two. But so what do you think of, you know, Paul Maurice reuniting that quote-unquote Schwelers line?
Before you answer that, just a quick update from morning skate. It's an optional morning skate for the ahead of the Jets and the Kings. No Paul Stastny on the ice as of yet during an optional morning skate this morning. We'll see what that ends up meaning, but it seems unlikely that he'll return to the Jets lineup tonight when they face off against the Kings shortly after 6 p.m. puck drop. Sorry, Jesse, go ahead, brother.
No problem. Well, I think if you can get those guys together and they get going and they're – that's your second line. It's amazing. Just get a bunch of skilled guys together. See if they can, you know, find their game together. I think that's obviously not a bad solution, is just sticking your best players together and seeing what comes out of that. And I see what you're saying about a guy like Andrew Kopp, but I think that, you know, if you have guys like Kopp and Stastny, let's say, on your third line, like that's, and I think at this point, like, Kopp has kind of established himself as someone who's not necessarily a third line player. He's like I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with Andrew Copp's next contract, because he deserves a big one, right? But I think, like, if you I don't mind it. See what those guys can do together. They're gonna find, they're gonna start putting pucks in the net eventually. And yeah, I don't know. I think if you have, like, guys like Copp on your third line, like, that's a Stanley Cup team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, hard to disagree with that, Jesse. But here's the real question. How much fun did you have doing your interview with Pierre-Luc Dubois? Because you guys did a chat. I put it on the website last week. But you seem to get a lot out of him. I mean, like, sometimes that's, you know, I mean, it's a little different format. But what, obviously, I know you like to be face-to-face right in there. But what were your takeaways from your chat with Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Thank you, by the way, guys, for reposting that. Much appreciated, as always. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is a great guy who just had very low confidence last year, and he finally has the confidence that he's probably had for most of his career, and dating back to his days in junior. And when you're feeling confident, it's going to translate on the ice into good play. And he seems like he's just in good spirits. Like, I could feel the energy from him when I was chatting with him. And I, just the way I interview, you know, like, personally, and just coming from Bar Down, what I've learned from my boss, David Krixt, and you know, like, obviously Dave used to work with Cabby back in the day, so I kind of have, like, studied the way Cabby would do stuff. I actually made a documentary on Cabby for my my fourth year project in university that can be found on YouTube. I just like trying to get to know players in a bit of a different way. And I feel like Pierre-Luc Dubois is someone who hadn't really – no one really knows what his personality is like, especially last year. He was a little more low-key. He wasn't doing stuff with the media. And now he's playing well, and I think he felt more open to having people get to know him. So he had mentioned that – say, oh, I've heard of this really good burger place that makes good milkshakes. Oh, obviously that's VJ's. So can't wait to hit that with him. So, yeah, he's awesome. And I actually just learned a lot from him. He mentioned that last year was really tough for him with having to quarantine and all this stuff. And you look at a guy like Mark Scheifele, I mean, he's better than how he's been playing lately. Also, he just, like, has had some bad luck. But, I mean, you know, you start the game off with a suspension, and then you have to go into COVID protocol. No wonder he's been a little slower. I think in the coming weeks, we're going to see a completely different Mark Scheifele, especially towards the Olympic break, because a guy like Mark, in particular on the Jets, is playing for quite a bit right now. He's playing for a spot on that team. So it's a matter of time. And yeah, it's a matter of time. A guy like, you know, I think a guy like Blake Wheeler is a bit of a different story. I think Wheeler's a really interesting guy to watch this year. He's also just had some really bad luck this season, but, you know, you wonder a little. I think Wheeler's still an awesome player, but, you know, eventually players start to get a little older, and Blake's what, 35 now? So I don't know. I feel like the Jets' window to win is right now. Boys got to get done. Yeah.
Jesse Pollock is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know Jesse from TSN Bar Down. You know, Jesse, you talked about the Olympics there briefly, and there's a question in the chat, a good one, from Jay Miller, talking about, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois and his possibility of making Team Canada. You know, less so that, but how much do you think, you know, the motivation of making the Olympics drives players, especially those guys who are, you know, maybe on the cusp, who are maybe tweeners between making the team and not making the team? How much do you think they're really using that, not specifically on the Jets, but just in general as motivation in the early parts of this season?
Oh, tons. I, you know, as someone who represented Team Canada at the World Jewish at the World Jewish Junior World Championship over in Israel back in the day, I'll tell you, it feels good to wear that maple leaf on your sweater. But in all seriousness, a ton. I mean, how many cracks you get at playing in the Olympics? Everything needs to, like, work out pretty well for you to play in the Olympics. You need to be playing, you know, I mean, for some guys, they're going to be too old next time. Some other guys are too young right now. But if you're in that stage right now where you're in a good slot and you have a realistic chance of making the team, I mean, it's something that you'll never forget. And I think, you know, the greatest thing you can do, in my opinion, obviously behind winning a Stanley Cup, is winning an Olympic gold medal. It's just an amazing accomplishment. Imagine you're going over with some historically good hockey players to another part of the world to play hockey together. It's a pretty amazing thing to think about. So I think there's a ton on the line. And speaking of PLD, I just want everyone, all the listeners to know out there, I stuck Pierre-Luc Dubois on my Olympic roster for bar down because he went over them. And I took some, not because of taking PLD, because I think there's definitely a case for PLD. But I actually, you know, I know he's going to make the team, but I actually left Patrice Bergeron off my team. and I'm not gonna lie, this was what
did you find room for Crosby on there too?
Yes, Crosby's on the team. I'll actually tell you my whole team with the lines if you guys would like.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's get right into it because the Olympics are not far away. My first line was Connor McDavid at center. I had Nathan MacKinnon at right wing, Jonathan Huberdeau on the left wing. That guy's awesome. I think he just deserves all the chances in the world. He deserves all the chances at that tourney. So this is where my second line gets interesting. I took Crosby at center, Marchand on left wing, and I thought hard about this one. I actually stuck Mitch Marner as my second line right winger, and I'll explain why in a bit. My third line, I went with more of a shutdown approach because obviously I'm trying to build the best team I can build.
Yeah, Rob Zamner.
Yeah. I took I believe O'Reilly or Couturier at center, and then one of those guys on the left wing. Either of them could play center.
You had Matt Barzal. You had O'Reilly up the middle with Couturier on the wing. I'm just checking. I brought up the roster here.
Well, no. Okay, so my final one because the one in the YouTube video was just we just listed names, but my final lines because we listed those on Instagram. I think I had Couturier in the middle, O'Reilly on the left, and then Stone on the right.
Sorry, Jesse. I was looking at the wrong one. Lucas. We don't need Lucas. That's right. You had O'Reilly between Couturier between O'Reilly and Stone. That just shows you how crazy deep the team is, right? When you've got O'Reilly, one of the best two-way centers in the league, on the wing.
Exactly. And my logic behind that is, you know, you can – oh, sorry. Then I'll say my last line. My last line was – I had Scheif on the left side, and then I had Point at center and Stamkos at right wing because I think Stamkos has done enough this year to earn his spot. What?
As he was shaking his head there.
No, okay. I don't disagree. I'm just thinking that is your fourth line. On most countries, that's your top line.
Exactly.
Like Stamkos, Point, and Scheifele as a fourth line is absurd.
It's absurd. And then I had PLD and Barzal as my extra guys who, you know, can find their way into a couple games. So my reasoning was when we actually filmed it, Bergeron was not off to his best start to the season. It was like before he scored four goals or whatever. and which I took a bunch of heat about in the comments. And I just think that I know those guys have great chemistry and he will end up making the team, but I kind of wanted to take a different approach. I think having a guy like Mitch Marner on your fourth line, and people are going to say Marner doesn't deserve the minutes, but Marner, especially lately, has been playing very well. Imagine him with Crosby and Bergeron on the line, the offensive upside with that line. I think, you know, I understand Bergeron is a very good defensive player, but I think that if you have a line that can shut down other teams' top lines, like imagine – let's say you said Kyle Connor, Austin Matthews, and Kane on a line together. Okay, we're just going to combat that with Couturier, O'Reilly, and Stone, three of the best defensive players in the league. I just think rather than having like a good two-way player who can play with Crosby and Marner, or who can play with Crosby and Marchand, let's take a guy like Marner on that line and see. I think there's more offensive upside with that line. And you don't. I get it's good to have a good defensive player on each line, but if you have that along with the top line together as your top two offensive lines, that's amazing. And I feel guilty putting Braden Point on the fourth line because he's the guy who could also be playing in the top six. So
it's hard to argue with a lot of those picks. I love the fact that, you know, Drew Doughty's there. I mean, he's injured right now, but he'll be back in, you know, what, 2 or 3 weeks. So he's got a lot of time. And, you know, Luca and Corwin, the other picks, they had like, you know, Adam Pellick out there with Ryan Pulock, who's obviously from Manitoba. Like, I mean, there's just so many options, but, you know, it's tough to argue with those picks that you made. And there's a good chance that Patrice Bergeron is on the team, but shows you how deep the Team Canada is. There's always going to be like 4 or 5 superstars that are left off the team, right?
Definitely. And I think no question Patrice Bergeron will end up making the team. But, you know, I wanted to, like, go out for my boy PLD a little bit, not to be too much of a homer, but at the same time, Pierre-Luc
Dubois. He's in the conversation, Jess. At the very least, he's in the conversation, right?
He is playing like one of the best Canadians in the world, no question. And especially at the time we filmed, he was playing better than Bergeron. I get Bergeron's done his thing, but like my logic was, okay, Bergeron is great. He's a big player, two-way. But I want, I think there's value in having a guy on the lineup who's really big, fast, talented, and can skate with all the guys with anyone on the team. Pierre-Luc Dubois can do that. He adds an interesting element to Team Canada. I don't think he will necessarily make it, but again, these were our own rosters that we had to submit. And just for anyone wondering, I guess I'll just read out the rest of my roster if you guys don't mind. If you want to read out who I took on defense and
let's keep going. I mean, like you said, I mean, the Olympics are, you know, only a couple of months away and it's only going to amp up, right, as we get deep into November. So on Jesse's defense, he's got Cale Makar, Aaron Ekblad. Like, obviously, no surprise. Everyone's going to have Cale Makar on their Team Canada roster. Shea Theodore, Alex Petrangelo was the second pair there. You've got Thomas Chabot and New Jersey Devils defenseman Dougie Hamilton on the third pair. And then your seventh and eighth defensemen are Darnell Nurse and Drew Doughty. So it's, with the exception of maybe Doughty, who some people might not put on the team, even though he's got two Olympic golds under his belt, I think it's tough to argue with most of those guys.
Absolutely. I would stick Doughty on the team, no question. And at first I was thinking, like, is Doughty going to be – I think I had him originally on my second pairing because I think Doughty was playing really, really well before he got injured too. And everyone is just, like, quick to heart – like, the guys – I was chatting with them on the podcast, and they were just harping on Doughty, how he's been such a defensive liability. But he's also just been on a pretty lousy Kings team the past couple of years. And he's still an incredible skater. And you got to take that into account when you're playing on the bigger ice too. And a guy who's already been there – there's a lot of value in that. I'm pretty sure Corwin left Aaron Ekblad off of his roster. He kind of went more with like team pairings. Like I think he took guys like Taves and Pelich, and it was an interesting approach. But I think
it's Mackenzie Weegar on there too.
Yeah, I almost took Weegar actually, and the reason why I took, and I know that Weegar can play, on his offhand, but I had all of these guys on my team, and I'm like only one of them shot left-handed. And you need to take that into account when you're making a team like this. That's why I have a guy like, I don't know if I had a guy like Darnell Nurse on the roster initially and Chabot, like those were bubble guys for me. But like, I think it's important to have options with left-handed defensemen. I think where things get really interesting is goaltending. And it's going to go a couple ways here. I mean, Price is either going to come back and it's going to be a remarkable story about how Carey Price, like, you know, came back, battled adversity, leads Team Canada through the tournament, plays really well, and that would be awesome. But I don't know if Price is going to be ready to play, and he might inform Team Canada that he's not ready. I have no idea. But I think it's really tough to argue against Jordan Binnington earning that spot right now because he's just been dynamite. And if you actually compare Canada's goalies to some other teams in the league, relatively weak, right. I would actually argue. You look at the States – they're gonna have they might have Hellebuck, Gibson, and Campbell. Like that's
or Quick, the way Jonathan Quick's been playing. I mean, we're gonna see him here in Winnipeg tonight, sub 2 goals against average, and what did I say, 9.35 save percentage. So Jonathan Quick isn't giving up his spot on Team USA anytime soon, to your point there, Jesse. Jesse Pollock of TSN Bar Down, our guest Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, talking about the Jets, talking about the Olympic roster, because we're getting pumped up for a few months from now in Beijing, 2022, of a boxing best on best tournament that we haven't seen in a little while. It's going to be certainly a fun tournament there, Ezzy.
Yeah, absolutely. I just continuing. I love this stuff. Like I agree with Jesse. Like the fact that the NHL is back participating in the Olympics. I mean, like 2018, you know, it was nice to see some players that, you know, otherwise wouldn't have got, you know, the opportunity, like, you know, Wojciech Wolski, like guys like that, right? That was fun. But I mean, it's always better when, you know, the NHL is participating. And just continuing with the goalies, because I agree with you, Jesse, like compared to, you know, even, you know, Finland or Russia, like Canada's goaltending is maybe not as strong as it was back in, you know, 2014, 2010. But let's say Carey Price isn't ready to go, because I saw, I think it was Corwin that had Carter Hart on his team. Like for you, who would be kind of the one or two next guys up? Like, is Darcy Kemper in that conversation? Because he's a guy that I've always really liked. But the way Carter Hart's playing this year, is he kind of the guy that you could see being one of the three goalies if Price isn't ready to go in February?
Yeah, so I actually had Hart as my goalie, like I kind of said in brackets in our initial drafts of the team, in case Price can't go. I had Hart. I think Hart's bounced back really nicely. He's got, again, confidence is a big thing, and I think he's got it right now. And yeah, I don't know how much he would necessarily play, but again, I think Binnington's the guy. I think he's deserved it. He has a cup. He knows how to, he's played in big moments before, and I would feel confident having him. But I think a team that's really interesting to watch, as you said, is Russia, because Russia is, who knows about them? You never know. They always have guys who, like from the K, who, like, you haven't really heard of before, but they've never really had great goaltending, or their defense is kind of not as strong necessarily each Olympics. But when you have a guy like Vasilevsky, it's a complete game changer. So there's a lot of good teams. Like, you look at Finland has a potentially awesome team. I'm really excited to watch them play. Sweden is Sweden, and Luka and Corwin took the States to win it all. And I still took Canada. I think Canada, you can't go against Canada. I'm not just saying that as a homer. I mean, like, you look at the skill on our team. But the States are going to be damn good. This is going to be the best tournament. I'm so excited for the Olympics, and I'm expecting the Legal Curve to do an episode dedicated to the Olympics, and you guys should share your own rosters as well.
I think we're absolutely going to do it. And guess who we're going to have on? We're going to have you on, and we're also going to be expecting a new 7-Eleven commercial to be ready for the Olympics. Right?
It's in the works. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Love that. Yes,
the question is, did you take Canada A or Canada B? Because there's really good enough for two squads with all the talent here in Canada. Jesse, I want to ask you about the videos you shoot in Toronto, pissing off Leaf fans. I mean, there's nothing that folks in this chat, people who listen to the show, people everywhere outside of Toronto seem to just enjoy that stuff. So, but just at the back end of it, like, not obviously we see what you film and all that stuff, and it's usually pretty entertaining stuff. How much fun do you have filming all that kind of stuff, that kind of irreverent video, when you're doing that kind of thing in Toronto or elsewhere, but specifically the one where you're annoying Leaf fans?
Oh, it's the best. I love it. And it's real too. It's not like staged. Like, I'm literally just going up to people with my phone and I'm just saying, like, I think there was one, what did I do? I think I went around just like telling people that Austin Matthews was overrated, and which he's not. I just have to get under their skin. And, you know, it obviously draws some crazy stuff. Sometimes I'm a little concerned about how people will react. I'm like, they try to like beat the crap out of me. But no, it's a ton of fun. I love repping Winnipeg. I just love it. You know, I think there's really a difference between Winnipeggers and Torontonians. And I like people from Winnipeg more than I do than people in Toronto, if I'm being honest. There are a lot of great people in Toronto, but there's just a certain way about people. A lot of people, especially in downtown Toronto, it's a bit of an attitude sometimes with people, and it's nice. It's nice going just like testing and seeing what people will say. So I'm very lucky to be doing the job that I have. It's motivation to work hard, and I love repping the Jets. So it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And most importantly, I'm very, very lucky to work with some amazing people at Bar Down. Everyone is friends. We have a good friendship. I think that's, you know, I look at the Illegal Curve too, and the chemistry you guys have. You guys have been buddies for so long.
We don't like each other anymore.
Yeah. Is that what happened?
That's why we're all in different houses. It makes it a lot of the fisticuffs otherwise are just too, they're too extreme.
All right. Well, I mean, at least Dave's got the fireplace going on back there. Very soothing. No, it's awesome. Like, I think like a lot of the content that we shoot together, like we have filmed road trips before. And we have such a good time together because we're just all such good friends. And I think Bar Down too, and I know a Legal Curve can say the same. Like, you start off really small and then you build it into something, and it's just really nice to see. So it's great. And another thing I think I should add for those listening, the TSN now has a partnership with the CHL. So we're starting to do more content with, you know, OHL, WHL, the Q.
The number one team in the country, the Winnipeg Ice.
Let's go. I actually got on the ice with them for a practice. So we'll have a video coming out for that in a couple of weeks. So we mic'd up Maddie Savoy and Connor Geeky, who are just beauties. They're just great guys. And the nice thing working with these teams too, and you know, they're just they're kind of like looking for not the players necessarily, but the teams are looking for a little more exposure. So they're so open to doing whatever you want to do with them. Like, in what world am I getting on the ice with the Jets for a practice? Zero world. But, you know, the ice were very accommodating. We also went to Peterborough recently and did some stuff with their players. And the CHL is, I can't say enough good things about that league. Like, it's a lot of like right now, at least like in terms of getting access to teams and stuff, like teams are just like very friendly right now. And, you know, it's been really nice, and we hope to do more work with them in the future. But go Ice! For anyone who's not aware, the Ice are the best team in the CHL right now and could very well win the Memorial Cup. So hopefully, I'll get to go to the Memorial Cup in St. John's and cheer on the fellas. I just got a jersey, so
there you go. Awesome. Jesse Pollock from TSN's Bar Down, former Illegal Curve intern. It's always great to catch up with you, buddy. Thanks for joining us this morning.
And my third cousin. That's my new claim to fame.
That's your claim to fame. That's Jesse's burden.
Well, shout out to my late mother. I mean, she is my late mother, but my late grandmother, Evelyn Pollock. Evelyn Ginsburg, obviously married, but our grandparents were first cousins. So that makes Jesse and I third cousins. So I always like to get that in there.
Why didn't I get the beard, Ez?
Is that the Ginsburg side or the Pollock side? I'm not sure, but
that's the hairy beast side.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's the park chimpanzee that you are, Ezzy. Jesse, thank you, buddy.
Guys, pleasure as always. Anytime.
We'll do it again soon. There you go. Jesse Pollock from TSN Bar Down. Let's head to break. For the first time, I want to bring everyone's attention to the new commercial for Rollies that's going to play. I don't want to hype it up too much, but if there was ever, you know, those best of commercials that you would sometimes, you'd go to the movie theater or like the art gallery and they'd play like great commercials from around the world.
Yep.
If there was ever the equivalent for YouTube hockey shows that played commercials, this one would be in it. So
you're saying, Drew, that this is like our masterpiece.
This might be the favorite one we've done. I mean, we've done ones where you've been hit in the head with a hockey puck. You've been hit in the head, well, multiple times. I can't even keep track of all the things you've been hit in the head with. This one might be my favorite. I really do think this one has just got that perfect blend of comedy and
je ne sais
information.
Quoi.
Yeah, this has got a little je ne sais quoi. So settle back, enjoy. When we come back, more Jets talk, more on the latest from game day skate. We'll talk more about Dubois and Kopp and Team Canada and all sorts of fun things. Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is up next. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hi, Ez. A strange question for you. But why are you lying on the ground being crushed by a piano?
Well, Drew, I definitely tried to carry this baby grand piano down the stairs by myself, and somehow I failed miserably.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, that was a silly question on my part. My apologies. Would you like me to call Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage to help you move the piano? They are the most experienced piano moving company in Winnipeg, after all.
Yes, please call Rollies and hurry. This piano is very, very heavy.
Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage offers stress-free residential moving services while taking great care of your personal belongings, including your piano. At Rollies, no job is too big or too small. For more information, visit Rollies.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Hey, it's Aaron from Bernstein's Deli.
That's right, Ezzy. I'm the guy who makes all your sandwich dreams come true.
So when you think Illegal Curve, what comes to you?
How about juicy chicken schnitzel, grilled salami, fried onions, melted cheddar cheese, and honey mustard on toasted thick-cut city rye bread?
Man, that's like the holy grail of sandwiches.
And so it shall be known as the Illegal Curve Sandwich.
The Illegal Curve Sandwich. Try it today at Bernstein's Deli. Find us at Corridon and Lanark or online at bernsteinsdeli.com.
Hey!
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Hour number two of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now. We're live on our YouTube page. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Dave Minuk's head is on fire. Ezra Ginsberg's been crushed by a piano. And I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Pleased to have so many of you with us on this Saturday morning. I don't know what it is about that commercial. I think it's the music behind it that just, yeah. It's the piano. It's 100% the piano and the sound of Ezzy being crushed by a piano that just makes it. I don't know. I enjoy that one very much.
It's a great commercial. It was lots of fun to record that one. And big thanks to Rowley's Moving and Transfer for becoming
Transfer
a new sponsor.
Moving and Storage, to be exact.
Pardon me. Rowley's Transfer Moving and Storage. Yes. Big thanks for coming aboard. We appreciate it. Your support of Illegal Curve. And yeah, it was just fun. And yeah, it's a great commercial. I mean, that's one of the most fun parts of doing the show there. I was going to ask you guys if you took piano lessons when you were younger, because I did. I used to take. I grew up on Waverly Street here in River Heights, and I used to take piano lessons. And the name of my piano instructor, she was just down the street. We were between Grosvenor and Kingsway, and she was between Kingsway and Academy. Her name was Putty Cunningham.
Okay.
Well, it was a funny first name. It was obviously I think he said Putty, P-U-D-D-Y.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, and
I thought I saw a putty cat.
Were you a master pianist by the end of your time with Putty?
Careful with the way you say pianist there, Drew. I probably took piano lessons for 3 or 4 years. I enjoyed it. I mean, I kind of regret not sticking with it now, because whenever I see a piano, I can't really play. But I just thought I'd throw it out there. Piano lessons were good times.
I took piano lessons as well, and it quickly became apparent that, much like my hockey career, I was not going to become a master pianist or anything along those lines. It was I was lacking in talent and desire, but aside from that, it was quite good. In any event, let's get back talking to on ice things. The Jets in action tonight against the Los Angeles Kings, post game show right around 8:45 or so tonight. So come back here to our YouTube page.
Nice and early.
Nice. An early game tonight. Exactly right. So you can join us back here for the post-game show later on. No sign of Paul Stastny. No official word, but it seems unlikely that he's...
There's no chance.
Yeah, exactly. Basically,
I mean, they've just said. Paul Maurice basically said yesterday he hasn't even put his boot on. So, I mean, if he hasn't put a boot on, he did say he doesn't sound like it'll be long. But what are you going to do? I mean, you had a successful game the last one, and if he's not even
back.
No, there's no point in rushing him back. So I mean, like, you let him. To your point, Drew, what you said earlier, he's going to get a practice in before he gets a game. So yeah. I mean, yeah, the reality is there was almost no chance in the fact that he didn't skate. I mean, I can't even see it being a remote possibility that Paul Stastny's playing tonight.
Yeah, exactly right. I would agree with you there. In the case anybody was worried, the reason why you haven't seen very many updates from Mr. Weeb, Kenny, is he's having a furnace problem, apparently, according to Twitter. So that's why if you're in the furnace business and you want to give Kenny Weeb a shout out or give him a hand, you can contact Ken on Twitter.
Maybe Rollies
can move the furnace, though.
You should actually sponsor the show.
That's right.
And then as a result, we can then refer Kenny to you, and then it'll be a whole thing.
There you go. There you go.
Come on, Drew.
Thinking, Dave.
Thanks.
That's right. Sorry,
I've had issues with my furnace before. It's not fun, let me tell you.
especially in winter. It's a problem in winter when you don't have a operating furnace.
You guys remember the band Furnace Face?
No.
Yeah, there was a band called Furnace Face.
Did they have any hits or anything?
I think they had a few videos on Much Music back in the day. They might have been on Tarzan Dan's Greatest Hits, but yeah, just thought I'd throw it out there. I feel like there was a CD with like a bomb, little like animated bomb on the front.
Okay, I appreciate that piece of information. I'm sure everybody's going to use that very wisely in the rest of their day today. You know, so you got the Kings tonight, and then you have the big home-and-home series on Tuesday, Thursday against the Edmonton Oilers. So, I mean, it's, you know, asking how to neutralize or how to shut down Connor McDavid is almost a fool's question to ask.
Slash him.
Well, slash him, hook him, you know, whatever it's going to be. Did you hear John Tortorella's comments? What did you think about Tortorella's comments from earlier in the week where he said basically, he said to Connor McDavid, stop whining, because, you know, he basically justified the fact that the NHL calls the game differently when you play against McDavid than you do in all the other games. Like, Tortorella is okay with the fact that the only way everybody else in the NHL can try and slow down Connor McDavid is by doing things to him that are penalties in every other game except when they're being done to McDavid. I thought that was an interesting perspective from Tortorella, and I'm being charitable when I say that. How about the league call the game, you know, a penalty is a penalty if it happens against McDavid or it happens against the average fourth line player in the league, but apparently Jordan Tortorella thinks it should be different.
Well, first of all, maybe Tortorella should be thinking more about how the fact that he's no longer a head coach in the NHL and the fact that after benching Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Dubois had a bit of a rough start and season last year, he's absolutely ripping up the league. So maybe he should think about the fact that he's had zero impact on Dubois' success and he's no longer a head coach. So I would spend more time on that instead of criticizing the best hockey player in the world. Like, what's he talking about? I'm sorry. Like, you know, Tortorella's had a long NHL head coaching career, but I'm not taking anything, you know, that seriously. Like, should McDavid get more calls? Probably. Like, oftentimes you have guys like draped on him and, you know, hooking and trying to pull him down, you know, taking maybe a few more cross checks than other players, but that's because he's the best player in the world and he always has the puck, right? And so I take those comments with a grain of salt. I think it's pretty ridiculous.
Okay, so that's fair, Ezzy. I don't disagree with you necessarily there. You know, what I wanted to point, I mean, look, we can talk about McDavid all day long, and you can talk about Draisaitl all day long. The player, I think, on Edmonton who doesn't get enough attention, and I think it's a really interesting story, is Jesse Puljujarvi. He's over a point a game now. He's up to 13 yep. points in 12 games played. This is a guy who, you know, came
speaking into of Pierre-Luc Dubois, right, Drew?
Right. This is a guy who came into the league, same draft year, came in with all the hype. Obviously, you know, things didn't work out well to begin with in Edmonton. He left, he went back overseas, and he came back. And now he's certainly established himself, not just as an NHL regular, but a strong contributor to the to that Edmonton Oilers success. And you don't often see guys necessarily yep. leave, come back, and succeed with that same team. And so, you know, you look at this Edmonton team, and the Jets are going to face them twice, Tuesday and Thursday. And it's definitely a pick-your-poison situation, but they are more than just McDavid and Draisaitl, because Puljujarvi, Zach Hyman, of course, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, these guys are really
contributing. Taylor Yamamoto,
really contributing to the Oilers' success. And even the offseason moves to go get a guy like Warren Fogle out of Carolina. He's a guy who's fit in well. He's the biggest bugaboo for the Oilers for so long was their forward depth, and as well as their goaltending. But their forward depth is certainly better than it was last year, better than it was in the playoffs against the Winnipeg Jets, Dave.
Yeah, I think Puljujarvi, we talked about him during the playoffs, right? What he was doing and what was holding him back during his first time. We talked to some of the Oilers guys who we would have on the show, and we would talk about, you know, the limitations in his game and his lack of understanding. But it seems like that's kind of changed. It seems like now he feels freer, or he maybe understands better, or maybe the communication is better with him. I'm not certain. We're not in Edmonton, so we don't know, you know, the ins and outs of that team the same way we would with the Winnipeg Jets. But yeah, it's fairly obvious that, you know, you've got a player who feels comfortable in his own skin and comfortable doing what he's doing. And you could see the talent, right? Whether it was going to the net, whether it was his shot, the guy clearly has a lot of talent. It was putting it all together And yeah, I agree with Kenny's water bottle. My TV fireplace is keeping me very warm. And if it wasn't, I'm sure it's the fire that as he's burning down below in one of those rain barrels about 10, 15 feet below me right now. So that's also might be helping.
I actually got the oven on, Dave. I'm just warming up some fries.
Yeah. That's why when Ezzy earlier in the show was talking about food, all I could think about is like, I'm like, this is the man who steps from my kitchen. That's not a good thing. But anyways, I digress. So no, I think that I'm looking forward to it. I think this home and home series with the Edmonton Oilers is going to be a lot of fun. I think there's, you know, the two teams haven't played each other since the sweep. So, I mean, I think there's that element of that that's going to be added to it, I'm sure. And look, Edmonton has a, you know, we think of Toronto as a passionate fan base, and that's, but I think the Oilers are at least the second probably best in terms of that passionate fan base in the NHL.
What are the Jets fans chopped liver, Dave?
No, I'm just saying in terms of a fervent, believe me, if you've seen Oilers fans, they are fervent. And there's a lot of them, right? And so I'm not talking about who's the best. I'm just talking about who's the most, you know, kind of like the most significant in terms of scale. And I just think
We know Jets fans are the best.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, I to be honest with you, actually, I have to say the one thing about Jets fans for the most part is they're passionate. There's no question about it. But I actually find they're very respectful. And I find that, you know, they generally, I mean, not always, not everybody. I mean, there's always going to be people who are, you know, that in that within that minority. But for the most part, they are. And I would suggest that Edmonton can be very toxic. I'm not saying Winnipeg can't. There are toxic people for sure, like if you go on social media. But I think that for the most part, especially with the types of interactions I tend to have on Twitter, mm-hmm. I would say like 90%, 95% of them, which to be honest with you seems like a record, are generally fairly good. I generally don't get a lot of aggression.
Yeah. Do you know why that is largely? Because we're smart enough that we don't engage in Twitter flame wars like some other people live for.
No, that's true. And it's just not worth the time. But but I'm just saying that. So you've got a very interesting and even the media, they've got a big media core in Edmonton. So that drums up the
shout out to our boy Dave Jamieson, right? And Dustin Nielsen.
I mean, there's a ton of guys who cover the team. And so I think that adds to maybe kind of the scale of the game, you know, it's a home and home, you know, games. What is it? 15 and 16 of the season.
Games for 15 the Jets. And 16. Yeah. So tonight's you're not game 14 and then 15, 16, Tuesday, right. Thursday.
So you're not
Sweet
looking,
16, right, Dave?
What's that?
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. So you're not thinking, oh, well, this is going to be like, there's a ton of emphasis on this game, but I think it'll add an element for sure. Pulling in the playoffs, how these two teams are off to good starts in early in the season. So I think that there's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of focus on that. Obviously we're not looking ahead past a Kings team that's won 7 games in a row though.
No, of course. I mean, the Jets focus is on the Kings. And I think, you know, to my point from earlier in the show, when we were talking about, the Jets, you know, a game against the LA Kings doesn't necessarily get you fired up. At this point in the season, because you think of the Kings as you know, an average team probably at best, but all of a sudden when they win 7 games in a row, that sort of refocuses you that you can't look beyond them to the Oilers on Tuesday and Thursday, because certainly if you had to look at your calendar and you said, okay, which games are my, you know, on paper, you know, theoretically most excited for, it's probably the games against the Oilers, because you get to prove yourself and you get to try and have to shut down McDavid again. And, you know, you get to have to try and neutralize that absolutely dynamic offense, and God forbid if the Jets take penalties against that Oilers power play, because number one in the world versus number 31 in the NHL.
42%, boys.
Yeah, well, it's incredible. So, I mean, you can't.
Although it was 50% last time we talked about it.
Yeah,
they're struggling.
It's
now.
It's obviously horrible, Dave. I mean,
terrible. They're slumping. Exactly, they're slumping terribly. But I mean, the point is that this Oilers team. So the Jets obviously will. You know, they won't overlook the Kings, and I think a large part of that is because they've won 7 games in a row. And then then you have Tuesday, Thursday against the Oilers, and then on Friday, second half of that back-to-back, you play a Vancouver Canucks team that is, well, frankly, they're just not very good, and they've been struggling terribly all year long. They got blown up by Colorado. Tucker Pullman suspended 2 games for
a high sticking. It was a little harsh, by the way.
I don't know. It was a pretty bad... It was a pretty good high stick,
was it? I mean, let's get some commentary in the chat going. I thought that was maybe 1 game, but 2.
Okay, fair enough. 1 game, 2 games, whatever. You spin the wheel of roulette with the NHL Department of Player Safety. We know about that.
Well, Drew, you know that the wheels of justice sometimes move very slowly, right? Other times they move very fast.
But, you know, if you look at the Oilers goaltending, you would think, okay, it's probably Mike Smith who's been there, who's been, you know, keeping them afloat, but it hasn't been Mike Smith this year. It's been Mikko Koskinen, you know, a guy who is certainly overpaid and a guy who's never really lived up to the expectations in the NHL. He's having a pretty good year so far. 918 save percentage and a 2.59 goals against average. You know, hopefully you'd have the goals against average a little bit lower, but when you have that offensive firepower in front of you, truly all the Oilers really need is right around that 918, 920 save percentage and a 2.5 goals against average, and they're probably going to succeed because they score so much just by the nature of the absolutely dynamic firepower that they have in front of them.
Sorry, did you say Marc-Andre Fleury there?
I didn't say Marc-Andre Fleury. I said Mikko Koskinen.
I know some people in the chat were bringing that up. Our good friend Chris Johnston, TSN insider, you know, was talking about that recently this week, you know, how the Oilers might have some interest in Marc-Andre Fleury, even though he does have a 10-team no-trade list. I mean, obviously, guys, like, you know, Chicago's not going anywhere. They're absolutely terrible. Pittsburgh is another team that has been rumored, right? The kind of him being reunited with his old buddies there, Chris Letang and Crosby and Malkin. But, you know, I think Fleury would make a lot of sense with the Oilers. I mean, you would have to probably retain some salary or you'd have to move out some salary, right? We always talk about money in, money out, right? That's what Darren Dreger loves to talk about on TSN. So Marc-Andre Fleury is definitely a guy to watch because I think that, you know, Mike Smith is a really good goaltender. He's had a great career. Mikko Koskinen, to me, is more of a backup in the NHL, but if you're able to bring in Marc-Andre Fleury, like we've seen what he's done, you know, in the playoffs recently, like that would be a serious upgrade. But I agree with you, Drew. I mean, look at when you're scoring that many goals, like you've got McDavid and Dreisaitl, right? They're 1-2 in scoring, or they're both top three in the league in scoring. Then you know you've got a better defense than last year, I think, and that was the question mark, right? Because Adam Larson had a really good year last year. But I think Cody Ceci, even though, you know, Cody Ceci isn't necessarily like an analytics darling, I think Evan Bouchard has really taken that next step in his game, right? Like we've been waiting a few years now, Dave, for Bouchard to take the next step in his game. And then, you know, Duncan Keith, he's kind of a little bit sheltered there. Tyson Barrie, you know, has been on the third pair in addition to the second pair. He's obviously, you know, makes his money on the power play there, Dave. But there's no doubt that those games next week with the history of the Jets and the Oilers in the first round last year, I mean, those games are definitely going to be must watch.
Well, and to your point, it is as the Evan Bouchard.
I guess Dave's already gun shy all of a sudden, Drew.
Well, no, I was going to bring Dave in right here. I was going to say it's the addition of Evan Bouchard.
What are you talking about?
You know, this is a... Okay, Dave, you want to talk about Evan Bouchard or the Oilers defense or something that just isn't Ezzy talking?
No, I'm going to let you reset it. Go ahead. Reset the table.
I think Dave's got something going on in the website. That's what's happening. Am I right, Dave?
No. I mean, I can see those
little fingers working.
I was involved in the chat because I was explaining to Joe from Winnipeg that there's no need for a Moose minute today because we will have 20 plus minutes of Moose chat with play-by-play voice and communications manager Daniel Fink. So no need for me to bloviate about the Moose today because we will have Daniel on to chat about the Moose for quite some time today.
And Daniel Fink joins us at the bottom of the hour for the latest on the Moose. The Moose are in Grand Rapids tonight to face the Griffins to wrap up their lengthy road trip before they head home next week to face the Milwaukee Admirals. There will be a Minook Moose Minute on the post-game show tonight, recapping everything that went on in tonight's rubber match between the Moose and the Grand Rapids Griffins. Right? It's the rubber match. Each team, the Griffins won last night?
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. Where did the Moose, where did they give up the, get the 60 shots? Was that
Milwaukee?
That was Milwaukee. Yeah. Sorry.
So I was like, it's not
true, it's actually the latex match.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you, Ez. I think you made
my latex salesman.
Yeah. In any event,
I'm all over the place here. Can we do the good, the bad, and the ugly? Because I came prepared with the good, the bad, and ugly, even though some people might think that's the name of our show, but we'll let people figure out who the ugly is. Bottom of the screen right here.
Okay, go for it if you want. What Ezzy's talking about, I asked the guys to, you know, as we're a month into the 2021 regular season, I asked them to come equipped with one team or one thing that is the good, one thing or one team that is the bad, one team that is the ugly a month into the NHL season. So Ezzy clearly did his research, which I appreciate. And Dave, I assume, did the research as well to come prepared for this segment. So Mr. Ginsburg, you're good so far. In this 2021 season.
I went with a team or a player that isn't related to the Jets, because there's a lot of good with the Jets. As we know, Pierre-Luc Dubois is off to a great start. I mean, Eric Comrie's picked up 3 wins in 4 starts. I'm going to go with Troy Terry of the Anaheim Ducks. If you look at the leading scorers in the NHL, you'll see Connor McDavid, you'll see Leon Draisaitl, you'll see Alex Ovechkin. Fourth in NHL scoring right now is Troy Terry. He's got 11 goals and 19 points. By the way, those 11 goals rank third in the NHL, one ahead of our boy Kyle Connor with 10 goals there. So the reason I picked him is because Troy Terry's a guy, he's a little bit older. I mean, we all remember what he did for Team USA, but he's 24 years old. This is his fourth NHL season. The Ducks are obviously not a team that has high expectations. Most likely they won't be a playoff team. But for me,
the Ducks, Troy Terry, the Ducks are 8-4-3 so far in the season. They are
second in the spot
in the Pacific Division.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so not a good division, as we've talked about. But to me, the Ducks could easily be, you know, the good. But specifically me, you know, I really like Troy Terry. I've always liked his game. You know, he's had some decent numbers in the NHL, but he's absolutely going to shatter, you know, his previous highs, right? We talked about it, 19 points in 14 games, fourth in the NHL. He most likely won't be, you know, in top 5 or top 10 in NHL scoring. But I think it's just good for a guy who, you know, took a little longer to blossom. He's American, you know, played for Denver. He's from Denver. So to me, that was just, you know, something that I thought of. I've really liked how he's looked this year. He's been tearing up the league. I also have him in my hockey poll, so that might have something to do with it.
Was that a pun?
No, it was not a pun.
He's been tearing up the league. Troy Terry's been tearing up the league.
Well, it must be really good when you have to explain it.
Well, if you want to take it further, I was cleaning up a mess in my kitchen with a terry cloth. So we'll throw that in there as well. Dave, go ahead with your good.
Well, I kept mine local because, you know, that's generally my focus. And I think the good has to be the play of Eric Comrie. I think that, you know, a month into the season, if you would have told Jets fans that Eric Comrie's played 4 games, won 3, could have won the 4th, if he had some run support, they'd be ecstatic. So I think, you know, that was the biggest question mark. That was the question we saw the most in the summer was how many people would say, what are the Jets going to do about the backup? And you can't play Connor Hellebuyck, you know, 70 games. You need a backup who's going to be capable. And that to me was probably the biggest question mark coming into the Jets season. Wasn't the player of Connor Hellebuyck, wasn't going to be the defensive pairings, wasn't going to be, you know, whether Pierre-Luc Dubois was going to bounce back. Because, I mean, we generally, you know, the consensus was that he was going to. And so that was the expectation. I think the biggest question mark was going to be the play of Eric Comrie and whether he'd be capable. And as you guys know, obviously I felt that he was going to be more than capable of handling this responsibility, but you know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually see him go out and do it. So I think if you're following the Winnipeg Jets, which, you know, I would suggest that 100% of the people if you're watching the show, you generally are. And I think that if you are, that was your biggest question. So if you're saying what's the good, that has to be the best thing for this organization and for Jets fans and for Eric Comrie is his play through the first, again, small sample size, but fairly substantial, you know, 13 games into the season, and he's having played 4 of them.
Ezzy, do you have something that's bad?
Yes, I do. And I think Dave and I are both going to have Coyote Ugly for the ugly probably.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For me, the bad is the Ottawa Senators right now have 9 players in COVID-19 protocol. And some of those players are significant players. Like Nikita Zaitsev is a top 6 defenseman for them. He was recently added, but you've got Matt Murray in there, who obviously is one of the Senators' top goalies, Austin Watson, Connor Brown, Alex Formanton, Victor Mete. There's a couple more. I'm not going to name all of them, even though I almost did, but
Eric Brandstrom is injured.
Well, yeah,
he broke his hand.
Bad is, you know, the NHL is not postponing these games. The Senators have 2 games this weekend against Pittsburgh tonight at home. And they play Calgary. Like, to me, it would make a lot of sense for the NHL to cancel or postpone, I should say, at least one of these games. So I'm going to give the bad on the NHL. Bruce Gerioch of the Ottawa Sun said that they don't want to cancel the games unless the Senators don't have enough players to ice a team. Well, they have enough players, but there's 9 regulars out of the lineup. So I just think it's bad that and ridiculous that they aren't postponing some of these games. I mean, nine of your starters out of the lineup. I mean, that's half your team almost.
Well, to your point, the Senators do not have a healthy defenseman left in their organization. Not at the NHL level, but in the organization, they do not defenseman left.
Like, what is the NHL doing?
It's crazy. I mean, this is to the point of professional malpractice.
Yes.
The NHL expects people to gamble on these games, or the NHL wants to capitalize on the newfound trend of gambling. It's insane that they're letting these games go as if they are legitimate contests.
Craziest thing is, we mentioned, Drew, the Senators are hosting the Penguins. The Penguins are one of the other teams that have the worst COVID-19 situation right now. Like, Sidney Crosby's not going to play tonight, and there's a bunch of other players that are out of the lineup. So, I mean, you're essentially, it's basically Wilkes-Barre versus Belleville tonight.
Well, it is a little surprising, and we really don't want this to devolve into the COVID hockey show, but, you know, the Jets are fortuitous. If you've seen all the other teams that have had issues with COVID this year, it's gone through the team more thoroughly than it did for the Jets.
Right.
The Jets had, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler, and it stopped at that point in time, you know, so far, of course.
Yeah, Hellebuck had it in late August, but yeah.
Well, you know, I'm talking about in season. You know, everybody else, you know, you talk about the Penguins, you talk about the Blues, you talk about the Avalanche, you talk about the Senators. You know, it's been way more of a serious issue for a lot of other teams. The Jets sort of got lucky, or they did the right things, or not to say the other teams haven't done the right things, because I don't know the particulars, but whatever it might be, the Jets have been fortunate that it just stopped with Scheifele and with Wheeler, Dave. You have something that would fall under the bad or the ugly category?
Well, are we going with my bad, or are we just skipping my bad?
Depends if you have a different bad. Go for it.
Have a different bad. Well, it's a play off of Ezzie's bad, but I think the bad is on the NHL for not having an expectation. I didn't want to see a taxi squad, because I think that would have kind of watered down the AHL for a second straight year, and I think it's detrimental to a lot of guys. But I think the lack of foresight to have some sort of flexibility in the cap for this to factor that in, to think that everything, because everybody's vaccinated, we knew that you could still get COVID. So, I mean, it's so naive to have not had the foresight to plan accordingly with respect to the cap. So for teams to be hamstrung, and you can say, well, it's too bad that they're up against the cap. Well, they're up against the cap because they want to be Stanley Cup teams. And, you know, for people to have to watch these teams play with, you know, a backup goaltender who's signed to a PTO because, you know, you can't actually afford to bring up your actual backup goaltender, or whatever the situation is, for that sort of lack of foresight, that's my bad with the NHL. And we've talked about that before, but it's just been reinforced throughout the course of the season.
Alrighty. Ugly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go. I made some notes here. I just want to go on a little bit of a run here, because at the beginning of the season, I said that I thought the Arizona Coyotes would be a 50-point team this year. It's possible they might be a 14-point team this year. I'm just going to go over some of their numbers here. Somehow, after 14 games, the Coyotes only have 3 points. That's right. 14 games, 3 points. They are 1-12-1. Okay, so let's dive a little bit deeper here. The Coyotes have a minus 36 goal differential. Minus 36 after 13 games. The next closest team to them is the Chicago Blackhawks. Teams, I should say. The Chicago Blackhawks and the Montreal Canadiens are at minus 18. Okay, so their goal differential is negative 18 worse than the next team. They have scored an average of 1.57 goals per game, and they've given up 3.93 goals per game. So unsurprisingly, both worst in the NHL. Like, this Coyotes team we knew was decimated, right? Like, when they started trading, you know, Darcy Kemper and Christian Dvorak and all these players, we knew the Coyotes were going to be one of the worst teams in the Central. But again, I repeat, 3 points in 14 games. Like, it's just a new level. So I don't even think they're going to get to 50, Dave. I think they'll probably end up, you know, around 30 to 40 points.
And they certainly are a horrible team. The Chicago Blackhawks, who were right next to the Coyotes recently, have actually won 3 games in a row. So they now seem like they're miles ahead of the Arizona Coyotes, and their 107 points percentage, which is really an impossibly bad number, to your point there, Ezra.
The good to the ugly is every other team in the Central Division is happy to have the Coyotes in there.
I was going to say they should be a free space on the bingo card, as the old saying goes.
But the only good for the Coyotes fans is that those Kachina jerseys, whatever they're called, like, people seem to really love that look. So that's about it. But yeah, that's my bad as well. I'm in the ugly. That's the play of the Coyotes throughout the course of the season. I mean, you may as well just give Shane Wright to them right now, because it's a foregone conclusion. This team is, I mean, knowing their luck, they're going to end up with like the third pick overall as opposed to the first.
Because there's no doubt, Dave, that they're losing the lottery.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they've lost everything else. So, I mean, losing the lottery would kind of make sense at this point. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate to see what's happening in Arizona. I know a lot of Jets 1.0 folks won't agree with that statement, but I mean, it's pretty pathetic what you're witnessing there. So, you know, they've been hammered off the ice. They've been hammered on the ice. They're getting hammered.
For Coyotes fans, they hope at season's end, all this losing has been worthwhile and make it so that the price of pain was right.
Let's
go to break. Also, they need a new arena, right?
Yeah. Aside from the fact that you actually don't have a place to play next year, everything's working out perfectly. Things are looking good for them. Yeah. Let's head to break. When we come back, Daniel Fink, Manitoba Moose broadcaster, is going to join us. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Shortly after the bottom of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Joining us in the bottom left of the corner, live.
Not on a green screen. Not a green screen.
Not a green screen. Live from the Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where the Moose and the Griffins will do battle later on tonight, is the voice of the Manitoba Moose, our good friend Daniel Fink. Now, Finker, before we start the interview, if at any point in time you hear us yell incoming, that means duck down because there's a puck coming at your head.
Yeah, I'm displaying a lot of trust in the limited pregame skate here behind me for the Moose, that they're not going to peg me in the back of the head. I think I've been pretty nice with my questions lately to Coach Mark Morrison, so he might not zip one at me here.
Here's hoping. Fingers crossed.
Well, I mean, technically that would make really good TV, Drew, so I mean, you got to kind of weigh them both.
That's true. You got to weigh You have to weigh the odds of Derek Meech having to do the broadcast by himself tonight versus our entertainment. And you know, for the sake of everybody involved, I'd rather see Daniel healthy for tonight's broadcast as the Moose wrap up their road trip in Grand Rapids against the Griffins. The Moose fell last night to the Griffins, I believe, by a 2-0 margin, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I guess sort of, you know, Daniel, we haven't caught up with you yet this year. You know, Dave is doing a great job with his Minook Moose minutes in our post-game show coverage. What have your sort of overall thoughts been about this Moose start to the season so far?
Yeah, it's been tricky because it's been a very solid team that we've seen. I mean, you start to look at some of the numbers and they've only been outshot once this season. They have over 30 shots in every single game that they've played so far throughout the campaign. So a lot of that would lead you to think, well, this team has a really, really good record. They're at the top of the division. That just hasn't quite been the case. They're just a little bit over 500, and they're hoping that they'll be able to come out of this road swing a couple of games above that mark, which would be really great. But we've seen them run into, one, some really hot goaltenders. There's been some great goaltending performances throughout the season, especially for Connor Ingram a couple of nights ago when he made 56 saves for the Milwaukee Admirals. And the Moose were able to just edge one out. But last night, kind of caught up with them a little bit as Calvin Pickard stopped 34 shots to shut them out. So two games against Calvin Pickard, he's only allowed one goal against the Moose. Luckily, they were able to win one of those. So there's been a lot of elite goaltenders in this division, which makes it tough. So it's not just about those shot counts. They've also got to get to the front of the net. And that's something they weren't able to do very well last night.
Dan, obviously we want to, you know, talk about current Moose players here today with you, but I have to ask you about Eric Comrie, right? Like, you've had a front row seat for Eric for, you know, his time with the Moose. And, you know, I know you've been, you know, most likely cheering him on there, and, you know, he didn't, you know, get the win, but obviously a back-to-back situation. So it's a tough situation for him, but, you know, he's got 3 wins, 4 starts in the first 13 games, you know, for the Jets. I mean, just what have your thoughts been about, you know, how well Eric has played this year in his first, you know, full season as a backup for the Jets?
I feel like I've gotten to understand goalie parents a little better this season. Whenever a guy who's spent significant time with the Moose gets into a game with the Jets, you can bet all of our staff's glued to the TV or at the game, extremely excited. With Eric, very much the same thing, but with goalies, every shot is a chance for joy or disaster. So it's an up and down thing, but it's been phenomenal to see him succeed like he has. I think a lot of people are surprised. I don't think anybody who works for the Manitoba Moose, is surprised. They've seen Eric Comrie over the last few years develop. And now that he's getting to really settle in with the Jets and make that role his own, I think people are seeing what we've been seeing with the Moose for years. And that's a really, really good goaltender. And it's just been so much fun to watch him to do what he's done, and hoping the best for him the rest of the season.
You know, Daniel, we saw what Johnny Kosevich did last year for the Manitoba Moose, and he really stepped up in so many different situations. And last year was such a bizarre year, but, you know, I mean, a guy plays, you know, with five defensemen, one of whom is a forward playing defense in only his third AHL game. You know, so he really got to develop and blossom last year. How have you seen that this year continue for the Jets' 2017 third round pick?
Yeah, for Johnny, it's just about continuing to build on what he's already done. I mean, he really, as you mentioned, broke out last season and put himself on the map. Folks got to really know his name during the preseason when he was playing for the Jets. And he's just building and building. And that's really what the American Hockey League's all about. It's just taking those blocks and stacking them up a little higher until you're able to climb into the National Hockey League and hopefully stay there on top of all those blocks. So for Kovacevic and Heinola, whoever it is, it's about just adding those little parts to your game. And this season, we've seen a little more offense, like we did the end of last season for Kovacevic. He's got a few goals on the year. He's just part of this very mobile group for the Moose that's trying to generate offense any way they can and assist their forwards. But at the same time, for Kovacevic, his true role is to be that shutdown guy, to be that guy who nobody wants to go to that side of the ice because nothing's going to happen over there. And that's what the Moose are looking for every night for him. And he's playing top pairing minutes alongside Ville Heinola or whoever his pairing might be. He's out there a lot, getting a ton of minutes. And that's exactly what you want from your prospect defenseman.
You know, Daniel, did you ask him about that goal he scored during the road trip? Whether he is thinking, did he play any forward? Because that looked more like a forward scoring that goal than a defenseman.
It was funny because he actually tried to pull something else the other night in Milwaukee while he was up on the rush on the penalty kill. And see, you know what? They were talking about it after. And sometimes you can catch those power play guys a little off guard if you try to make a move. And he started to make some move. And when he starts going side to side, he's got a huge reach to get that puck around guys. So it was fun to watch him try that again. And that comes with confidence, right? You make a move like that to the side of the net, that shows me that a guy's playing with confidence. And that's exactly what we're seeing from Kovacevic.
Daniel Fink is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on our YouTube channel. We're live on all of our social media platforms. You know, Daniel, of course, is the Manitoba Moose play-by-play broadcaster. The Moose are in Grand Rapids to wrap up the road trip tonight against the Griffins, second of a back-to-back situation after they dropped a 2-0 defeat at the hands of the Griffins last night. Daniel, you talk about building blocks until you get so high that your next building block is to the NHL level. A lot of people, Jets fans and Moose fans, are keeping a very close eye, of course, on David Gustafson. He leads the team in points with 9 points in his first 12 games of the season. You know, what have your sort of general thoughts been of Gustafson? And, you know, when does he get at that, you know, how close is he getting to that point where really there's no other option but to sort of elevate him and to see if everything he's learned at the AHL level will translate to the NHL level?
Well, I'm not going anywhere near that last part. That's
I didn't think you were going to be perfectly honest.
A lot more money than I do, and frankly, get to make those decisions that I don't want any part of because they're real tough calls. But here in the American Hockey League, you can see that David Gustafson, by virtue of his size, his power, is so much fun to watch at this level. And it'll be interesting to see whether that offensive spark can kind of carry through to the next level as well. But when you see what he's able to do in tight, when you see what he's able to do in the corners, and when he gets the feet moving, you get excited when he gets into the zone and that left shoulder, if he's coming in off the right wing, drops down a little bit because you know that he's going to go with that puck right to the rack. He's going to try and just jam that home. So he's been a lot of fun to watch this season, and playing with Cole Perfetti on the wing as well. That's been fun because he's able to free up that puck and create space for a guy like Perfetti, along with Austin Pagansky, who's been on that line as well of late. So it's been a nice combination. And for David Gustafson, much like Kovacevic, like we're talking about, it's about adding those pieces, building consistency, because that's so important as well, is finding that consistency and just continuing to improve and eventually take it to the next level. Nobody ever got worse by playing in the American Hockey League. So it's a great opportunity for them to continue to build these parts of their games that they really will need to be consistent players. And the idea is, once they go up, you never see them again. That's the ideal situation for the Moose, is you want those guys to succeed and they get there. And that's really the goal for the Moose in developing David Gustafson.
a very good answer. Discretion is the better part of valor. So that's the answer I was expecting, my friend.
It keeps me out of trouble.
And I got to say, Daniel, you are, I think you're looking even more handsome than last time I saw you.
Well, thank you so much.
I just want to know
it's all about raiding the clearance racks at the suit stores.
I'm just kind of curious where Derek Meach is. Is he just out of view of the camera?
He's the cameraman, is he?
Oh, okay. He's the cameraman. Okay. I understand it now. I was a little bit worried there.
They rolled out the red carpet for him last night here in Grand Rapids. See, I don't know if you guys
absolutely
know this, but he's 11th all time among Grand Rapids players in games played, over 300 games here. So it was pretty cool. They had him up on the big screen. He's trying to finish a thought about Cole Meyer just made some unbelievable move behind the net. So he's trying to break that down. Meanwhile, he's up on the screen and the PA announcer's yelling at him to give him a wave, and he's trying to do everything at once. But it was pretty cool to see a classy organization here in Grand Rapids. But I think it's been a fun little trip here for Derek Meach to kind of get back to his old haunt. He's a busy guy though, because he is his actual job is our team services coordinator. So as you might imagine, with all the travel we've been doing this past week, that's a big job. So he's off taking care of all the important stuff right now.
Right on. So what you're saying is he has a little bit of vacation time coming up, maybe, right?
Yeah, in the off season.
Maybe in a few months here, we'll get to that.
Yeah, Christmas time, right? You mentioned Perfetti there, and obviously, you know, in the chat, you know, you can see as well, but you know, a lot of people, you know, want us to ask you about Perfetti and, you know, the switch from center and wing, but just overall kind of big picture, like I realize he missed a few games, but, you know, how have you seen his game develop here early in the season? Because we know he's got a long NHL future ahead of him, but what's kind of been your main takeaway through the first, you know, 3-4 weeks of the season here?
Perfetti, never heard of him. Who's this guy talking about? he's fun to watch every night. And you know what, last night, maybe for the first time really this season, he put on the dancing shoes and pulled off some unbelievable moves. Wasn't quite able to finish it off, but just made that extra little move, that little play that a guy with his elite level of skill could make to get to the nets. And Calvin Pickard was there to foil him both times. But you look at some of the chances that he's been getting of late over the last 3 or 4 games or so, actually coming into last night, he'd hit 4 posts while beating goaltenders clean coming in off the wing. So he's got that great shot. He's got that great vision. He's a little bit snake bitten right now, but man, when they start to fall, and they will, it's going to be exciting to see what he can do. But he's just got great skill. And on top of that, he's such a mature kid for being as young as he is. He's still only 19. And so you look at him and you forget how young he is. And then you have to remind yourself that this kid should still be playing junior, and he's playing in the American Hockey League and doing it at a high level. So it's been a lot of fun to watch him. Interesting to see him a little bit on the wing here. He's great up the middle, but giving the Moose a bit of a different look here of late, playing on David Gustafson's wing. Was talking a little bit about that, how with his forwards being able to create him a little more space, that's opened some opportunities up for him as well. But for Perfetti, it's another adjustment, right? Because last season he came in, and the league was a little bit different. There's a lot of guys on taxi squads. Some of those top defenders, some of those top forwards are playing on taxi squads. So it's a better American Hockey League this year. So again, it's a bit of an adjustment. Some of those bigger, faster players are in. A little less room, a little less time. And so it's about that adjustment. We saw him make it very well last season, and he's building again. This is kind of the theme of the interview here, is those building blocks. And again, it's just such a great opportunity for him to play in this league rather than in junior, where he maybe had accomplished a lot of what he could at that level. So now he's getting to push the pace in the American Hockey League and prepare himself for a long pro career.
You know, Daniel, I could sit here and ask you about every individual defenseman because everyone is, with the exception of Jimmy Olney, is a Jets prospect or a Jets draft pick for the Manitoba Moose. But, you know, in years past, we've seen the team have more experienced defensemen and use those young guys in a rotation. This year, they don't really have that option, because this year, those young guys all have to be playing. And more often than not, on most nights, we're seeing that, right? We're seeing Ville Heinola, Leon Gavanke, Declan Chisholm, Simon Lundmark, and Ville Heinola. Like, you've got Johnny Kovacevic, sorry. So you got 5 of your 6 guys on any given night being young, relatively speaking, young players in the AHL. How have you seen this group collectively develop so far through the course of the first portion of the season?
Well, we talk about those shot counts the Moose have been able to rack up, and a lot of that is because of their prowess in the offensive zone from the back end. The Moose always have an option to go out high. And if you're watching the games, you'll see they love to do that. They'll lug the puck down into the corner, bring everybody down low in the zone, chuck it up to the defenseman, and then all of a sudden the party starts because you have Declan Chisholm, who is a lot of fun to watch walking the line. He's so good at the top of the zone, getting away for pressure or creating those shots, or Leon Gavanka's letting that bomb go, or Ville Heinola is corking off some amazing pass to the guy that nobody even realized was open. So you have those guys working the lines, and it's a lot of fun to watch. Even guys that aren't necessarily who you would think is the offensive guys, like a Kovacevic or Simon Lundmark, they're starting to get the confidence to make that little move to give themselves a little bit more room. So the Moose have been able to generate a ton of offense, even if they don't show up on the score sheet, just by virtue of that defense being a real threat. I mean, even Jimmy Olin's in on the action. He uncorked an absolute rocket last night that just missed the top of the net. So the Moose can get a lot going from that back end, but there is still time to learn as well. You'll see some plays where it's like, okay, there's the youth on display because maybe there's a missed assignment coming through or somebody sneaks in behind them. So it's still a learning process, but man, when they get that puck into the offensive zone and are able to put that skill on display, it's a lot of fun to watch.
Daniel Fink, Manitoba Moose broadcaster, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. The Moose in Grand Rapids to wrap up the road trip tonight against the Griffins, the Jets, and the Kings in downtown Winnipeg later tonight as well. The IC post-game show right around 8:45 p.m. will also update you on everything going on in that Moose game. Dan, you look at the goaltending situation for the Moose, and it's really hasn't been up to par, I would say, so far this year. You got two goaltenders in Arvid Holm and Mikael Burden, both sub 900 save percentage, goals against averages over 2.5. Is that a primary area of concern right now for head coach Mark Morrison?
I think it's a little bit deceiving for the goaltenders here. And I think if you were to ask any of the players, any of the coaches, they're pretty happy with what they're getting from their netminders. You have to remember this Moose team isn't getting up a lot of shots. I mean, there's not those nights where they're giving up 30 shots plus. I think they've only given up 30 shots maybe twice or three times on the season. So the goalies aren't really getting that opportunity to see that save percentage climb. And then on top of that, the Moose have been guilty at times of giving up really good scoring chances in the limited chances. So if you're looking at the game last night, Mikael Burden gives up a couple of goals, but you look at the goals that were scored, I don't know what he's supposed to do differently. Same in Milwaukee, good chances in front, redirections, things like that. So I don't think that the Moose are overly concerned about their netminding, because if you look at some of those key moments, whether it's Arvid Holm or it's Mikael Burden, Philip DeRosier was spectacular in his Moose debut in Chicago. They've been able to make those big saves at the key time. And Mikael Burden comes up with a massive save in overtime in Milwaukee to help the Moose get that win. He comes up with a huge save on a 2-on-1 earlier in that game. Makes a brilliant save last night to keep the Moose within striking distance. So sometimes it's the timing that those goaltenders make those saves that they shouldn't. And you need that every once in a while, because it's just a reality that goaltenders are going to get beat by funky plays or great shots. It's going to happen. But I wouldn't say that the goaltending's been overly concerning. I mean, sure, you'd love to see those goals against averages a little lower. You'd love to see the save percentage a little bit higher, maybe around 930 like Calvin Pickard's got going on right now. But you know what? He's one of the absolutely elite netminders in the league. And you know what? The Moose have pumped a ton of rubber at these goalies too. So I think when you start to balance out the fact that the Moose goaltenders haven't necessarily seen a ton of shots, but at the same time, they've seen some pretty good quality scoring chances when the Moose have been maybe focused a little too much at one end of the ice because they are so aggressive, because they are getting their chances and maybe not getting them to go, and then somebody forces a pass and whoop, back the other way we go. So I don't think that we'd say that the Moose goaltenders have been really a concern so far.
Dan, I wanted to ask you about Mikey Essiemont. I was talking to Dave about him before the show, and he was a guy that during Jets preseason, like, he really impressed me, and he was a guy I was thinking might even get, you know, one of those top 13 spots. Obviously, you know, he's, you know, competing against many other players there, but I just thought he was, you know, just a tenacious guy. His feet always moving. He's obviously got a scoring touch as well. He's got four goals. I don't think he's scored a goal in a little while here, but I wanted to ask you just what you think he's brought, along with a guy like Austin Pagansky, but specifically Essiemont. What has he brought to this forward group? Because as Dave talked about on the back end, it's obviously a lot of Jets prospects, but it's a mixture of veterans and youth up front. But just what has he added to, you know, the Cole Perfettis and the David Gustafsons, just kind of providing that, you know, veteran scoring support?
Yeah, and sorry if it all of a sudden got a lot darker in here. My light couldn't handle the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. too many interviews today, so it's having a nap here, and I'm going to have to charge it up after we're done here. But for Mikey Acemont, you mentioned tenacity, and that's really the key word for Mikey Acemont. Feet always moving, like you said. He's got great wheels, and you know what? He's not the biggest guy, but man, does he come out of the corner with the puck a lot. You'll see him go in, especially maybe late in a shift, and he's still driving, gets in down low. He's mucking around in the corner, gets enough time for his reinforcements to get off the bench, wins the battle, gets it out, and Musa get a scoring chance. So beyond his initial start where he scored 4 goals in his first 5 games, the work that he's able to do in the corners just by virtue of keeping his feet moving, being a little slippery, spinning off checks. We saw him set up Leon Gavanka for the overtime winner in Milwaukee for his first assist of the season. And since then, he's had a couple of other great feeds to get Jeff Malott open for a couple of chances. Malott had 4 shots on goal, due in part to some of the work that Acemont was doing. So he's really been an important player in that he's been able to play on pretty much any line. You need him to play with that top group and provide little skill. He can do that. You need him to play with Myron Jones and maybe try and lock things down a little bit, calm it down. He can do that. So for Mikey Acemont, he's been a great addition to this Moose lineup, and I'm sure that the organization is glad to have him on a 2-year deal.
You know, Daniel, on a personal level, what's it like for you to be back on the road in the sense that you're going over to the border again and trying to get back into a normal flow? You've got Derek on the road with you. So what's it been like for you now getting back into a return to normality, road trips into the U.S. and a return to the Central Division for the Manitoba Moose?
It's been really cool to be back, to see some of these folks that we haven't seen in a couple of years. I mean, Bob Kayser was up in Winnipeg for the Griffins and Moose for their home opener there, so got to see him. But Randy Cleaves here in Grand Rapids as well is such a great guy, and the organization here, they do a great job. So it was really cool to be back. There were 9,000 people in the building last night. It's a great atmosphere. I mean, even to be back in Milwaukee, Charlie Larson, Aaron Sims, just some of our friends that we haven't seen in the last couple of years, maybe caught up with them a little on Zoom or a phone call here or there. It's been really exciting. It is a bit of a different world down here. Not as many masks when you're out and about or traveling. So it's been interesting to see kind of how things are south of the border here. It is a little different, but you know what? It's been really exciting to get back to some of our favorite places here in the Central Division, and it's been great to have them back up in Winnipeg. So that's been a little bit of a return, as you were saying, to normalcy, and it's hopefully continues going on that way.
Daniel Fink is the Manitoba Moose broadcaster. He'll have the call of tonight's Moose Griffins game. You can hear that on moosehockey.com later on tonight. And then the Moose return to Winnipeg, I believe, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. Did I get that right? Against the Milwaukee Admirals?
November 18th, 19th, and 21st. So that's Friday, Saturday.
Or Thursday, Friday.
Thursday, Friday. Thank you. Yeah, Thursday, okay. Friday, and Sunday as I work on my dates here. Usually I've got that up on my computer screen, so I cheat all the time. But so excited to be back. Of course, a 3-hitter against the Milwaukee Admirals. Kind of interesting because we didn't usually see stuff like that prior to the season last year. But then all of a sudden everyone went, hey, these sets kind of work out for everybody. So trying something out a little bit new here. So a chance to see the Milwaukee Admirals, chance to see Connor Ingram in the opposing net. He has been sensational for the Admirals. The Moose will try and beat him a few more times. But I can't overstate it enough. When this Moose team has its pedal down to the metal and is going, they are a lot of fun to watch. They just attack in waves. There's obviously some of the top Jets prospects on this team. There's some exciting new faces as well as some familiar ones that Moose fans have come to love over the years. So be sure to snag your tickets at moosehockey.com/tickets. Also, the Hockey Fights Cancer game coming up on the 21st. First specialty jersey of the year for the Moose. So that'll be fun to see them in a different look and an opportunity to support some great causes as well. So love to see you out at Canada Life Center and looking forward to being back home.
We appreciate it, Dan. Have a great call tonight. Daniel Fink, Manitoba Moose broadcaster. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Great to be on.
Thanks, he goes. Daniel Fink, Moose broadcaster, as we mentioned. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this morning's show. We'll get you set again for the Jets and the Kings. And we will what was I going to say? Some final thoughts from us and another update from Game Day Skate. So stay tuned. One final segment to come. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Okay, we're back with one final segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A final update from Winnipeg Jets Game Day Skate. They'll be in action later tonight against the LA Kings. Paul Maurice tells reporters that he will dress the same lineup versus the LA Kings tonight.
Shocking.
And that Paul Stastny might be an option for Tuesday's finale of the 7-game homestand. Connor Hellebuck will be in goal for the Jets tonight. And most importantly, hold on to your seats, everybody. Kenny Weeb's furnace crisis has been averted. So
good.
We dodged that bullet. Everything is okay with Kenny's furnace. So hopefully Kenny's
water. Is everything okay with Kenny, though?
Yeah, Kenny's okay, his water bottle's okay, and his furnace is okay, so crisis averted on this Saturday morning.
Well, Kenny's water bottle should change his name to Kenny's Furnace now, even though Kenny's water bottle is an iconic name, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Kenny's Furnace show up in the chat there, but that's good, because this time of the year, you definitely need a furnace. The biggest surprise to me coming out of what you just said is that, is Paul Maurice going to have enough time to dress every single player on the Jets? Like, he's probably going to need somebody else to help him.
Thank you, Ezra. I'm not even touching that one, but you're very clever. On that note,
it's just a matter of time before I headline rumors, let's be honest.
It's true. It's only a matter of time is right. Exactly. I think I saw a comment from Alistair Clark earlier in the show saying he bought his tickets for Rumors for the Christmas season. So you can get on that, of course, through our friends at rumorscomedyclub.com. If you do, you know, it's time to begin to start thinking about New Year's Eve plans. So you can also check out Rumors for that for some great New Year's Eve options. We want to say thank you to all of our sponsors for their support of IllegalCurve.com and their support of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Bagelsmith, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, and our friends at Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. We'll be back later tonight with the IC post-game show right around 8:45 or so, somewhere in that vicinity. Come back here to our YouTube channel, talk about everything that went on in tonight's Jets and Los Angeles Kings game. We'll have the Minook Moose Minute for an update on the Moose and the Grand Rapids Griffins. Keep it locked to IllegalCurve.com for all your latest Jets and Moose news all day long, of course. That's pretty much it for this Saturday morning. We'll be back in a few hours for the post-game show for Dave Minook, whose hair is on fire, for Ezra Ginsberg, whose hair is fantastic. I am your host, Drew Mandel, whose hair is non-existent. Thanks for watching the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll see you tonight for the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, IllegalCurve.com.